Okay.
And I look at Megillah Surah. So last year we covered really almost the entire Megillah, mm-hmm. which kind of left me at a loss to try and figure out what to talk about.
I don't remember anything from this year.
I wasn't
here. If you had told me that, I would have had spent any time preparing. I could have taken care of some other things. So anyway, I was thinking a little bit about the story when trying to figure out what we can learn together, and something sort of stuck out of my mind as being bothersome. The Megillah, as we know, is called Megillah Esros. Now, just try to, with an open mind, take a step back for a second. Who is the main character in Megillah Esros?
That's your question. I was just
going to
say.
Is it
maybe it is. I think the knee-jerk reaction is Ruth.
No, I would say Naomi.
But
she had more lines in the play.
But I think it's more than more lines in the play. We're going to try to look at that, and it's going to leave us with a little bit of a problem that we're going to have to try and figure out. But the only person who makes it from the beginning to the end alive
is Naomi.
Right? She's introduced in the first pasuk, right? It says Vayhi b'mei Shvuot HaShoftim. Again, just contextually, sometimes, you know, even Rus is a Megillah which appears in Ksuvim, so we sort of feel like this happened later. Again, we're talking about something which happened at the times of the Shoftim. So if you had to, you know, chronologically stick the books together, you know, Yehoshua and Shoftim are still chronologically moving in order. So if you had to take the Rus, you would stick it in somewhere in the middle of Sefer Shoftim. We sort of don't think of it that way because it's together with Esther and at the end of Tanakh. But in actuality, the events took place. Boaz maybe was Ivtzan, who was one of the Shoftim, according to Chazal. So that's what we're talking about. Times of the Shoftim. Vahira of Barith, there's a famine in the land. Vayelech ish mi Beis Lechem Yehuda, and a man from Beis Lechem Yehuda goes. Lagur b'stei Moab, to travel to the fields of Moab. Hu v'ishto shnei vanav. He, his wife, and his two children. So again, first pasuk of the Megillah, Naomi is already introduced, not by name yet. She'll be introduced by name in the next pasuk. Right? B'shem ha'ish Elimelech. This man is Elimelech. B'shem ishto Naomi, and his wife is Naomi. B'shem shnei vanav machlom lechayon haprasim v'zachim Yehuda v'ayvos temoavi v'ayusham. So Naomi is, again, we'll see that she makes it till the end of the story also, but she starts out at the beginning of the story, and she lasts all the way until the end. So I want to try to look at, I think it's more than just more lines or you know, being around for a longer period of time. If we look at we're going to try to look at the different sections that really deal with Naomi's role in the entire Megillah, I don't know, it seemed at least fairly clear to me that she undergoes the most change in the story. And I think she's the person who's most central to everything that happens in the story, which again, if the theory is correct, is going to leave us with a little bit of a problem, which is then why did she not get her name attached to the Megillah? Why don't we have Megillas Naomi instead of Megillas Rus? We'll see if you agree to the theory, but if you at least think about it, I think that that's the case. So we'll start again, starting from the beginning. So we know that they lived in the times of Shoftim. There's a famine in the land of Israel, and they travel to Moab. What happens in Moab? Pasagim of Ayamat Elimelech Ishnomi. Elimelech dies. Vatishaer Hishnevanah. Naomi is left with her two sons. Vaisu Lohem Nashim Moabios, and they marry Moabite women. Shem Ha'achas Orpah V'Shem Hashenis Rus. Okay, so Rus did make it in fairly early on also. But in terms of roles, let's see what happens. Vayeshvu sham k'eser shanim. So in the first four psukim, now 10 years have elapsed. Right? Over the course of these 10 years, they were living in Moab. Naomi, without her husband, who has died already, together with her sons and their, again, it's not 100% clear, but seemingly their non-Jewish wives. They may have converted already. We can maybe talk a little bit about both sides of that coin shortly. And they die as well. And she is left behind. So why did they die? Why were they being punished? Why were they being seems to be punishment? What were they being punished for? Sorry. So the Chazal seems to say in at least one place that they were punished because they left Eretz Yisrael, but if you put the Midrashim together, it seems like it was more than just leaving Eretz Yisrael, but it was that they left Eretz Yisrael because of the position that they were, because of the position that they were in. They were in a position where they realized that they were the ones who were the wealthiest, they were the ones who were going to have to support all the Jewish people, and Elimelech says, I have no interest in taking that role. So they really left Eretz Yisrael in order to abandon the Jewish people. That was almost what their goal was. So it wasn't just, you know, your average person who things were difficult and came back from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. It was that specifically in their role as being the leader, he said, I have no interest in doing this. I don't want to support the people. And to have the leader walk out on the people is devastating to the people who are left behind. So they're punished. They're punished for that. So is Naomi part of that or not? She travels with them. Right, the first pasuk said, it was a family trip. So on the surface, we don't see that Elimelech was the one who does. The Megillah doesn't say Elimelech got up and said, "We're having a family caucus, and let's take votes. Who wants to leave Eretz Yisrael, and who wants to stay?" Or that he got up and he said, "You know what? I'm making the decision. I'm the man of the house, and I'm telling you all that we're traveling, even if you want to stay behind." We don't see anybody else's input or not, so we have no idea whether Naomi is guilty in terms of the same sin that Elimelech was, and maybe Mahlon and Kilion. Again, part of the question also maybe is, why were Mahlon and Kilion killed? Was it because of the same sin of Elimelech? But maybe not because they didn't punish right away, or because of what it sounds like in the Psukim of they married Moabite women. That would assume that they have not converted at that point, which seems to be a little bit of a machlokas in the Mefarshim, whether they would have actually gone ahead and brought in Moabite women into the house without converting them, or whether they actually converted them.
Well, maybe that's the punishment. Like, you know, they might get, we hold the juries out on whether they're condemned. Maybe after Elimelech dies, or the guy who took them out is dead, maybe now we can go back.
Okay, maybe.
Not to when they get entrenched in Moab, and that's...
Possibly. Possibly. So that point's a little bit up in the air. It's not clear. And certainly, again, especially in light of the rest of the story, it's very hard to condemn Naomi. She certainly does nothing else. If anything, her response, as we'll see in the coming psukim, is to try and undo the damage that Elimelech did by leaving Eretz Yisrael. But again, it's not 100% clear from the psukim whether Naomi played a role in that or not. But again, I just sort of keep on the back burner what happened just now. From the time of the famine until Mahlon and Kilion died was a minimum of 10 years, right? It's already said 10 years passed, and then it says afterwards that they died. So it could be that more time even passed after the 10 years until Mahlon and Kilion died, or it could be that happened immediately after the 10 years. So we're talking about a ten year period of time. So then what happens? Vatakam in Pasuk Vav, Vatakam hi v'chalosa, she gets up with her daughters-in-law. Vatashav mitzei Moav, they return from Stei Moav, ki shama b'stei Moav, ki fokad Hashem asamod l'seis lohem lachem. So right away, it seems almost right away, as soon as Naomi has the opportunity, right, her family has been destroyed, she's left, what does she want to do? She has her ears perked up, she wants to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Now whether that's... Again, either way, I think it speaks to the greatness of Naomi, whether it's because she was part of the mistake originally and realized it was a mistake and this is part of a tshuva process, and she says, you know, I see that they were punished, I see it was the wrong thing to do to have left the Jewish people, now that I don't have to worry again, she has a different calculation to make now because she has no more money left, so to go to a place where there's a famine just... is maybe a death sentence, but now that she hears that everything is fine in Eretz Yisrael, so certainly that's the place where she wants to return to. Or maybe all along she had no interest in going, and she was schlepped along by her evil husband and evil sons, and now that they're out of the picture, nobody's holding her back anymore, she says, I have no reason to stay here. The place where I wanted to be all along was Eretz Yisrael, and I want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. But what's interesting is that what are her daughters-in-law still doing with her? they have no connection. They didn't have any children. They're not married to her. They're not married to her sons anymore. So why are they hanging out with her? Now, if they have converted and they're Jewish, and these are the three Jewish people in the entire land of Moab, and we don't know there's a Jewish community that developed in the Gullus of Moab. We just know of these three people. So maybe that's why they would hang out with her, because if they're the Jews and she's their Jewish connection, so certainly they want to stay with her. But from the conversation which is going to come, it seems very difficult to assume that's the case. Because what happens? But so they begin together with her daughters-in-law. They begin traveling back to Eretz Yisrael. But Tomer and Naomi, and Naomi said, to her two daughters-in-law, "Leich nashov na ishal ve'sima, go back to your mothers' homes." And God should be good to you, like you were good to the to my sons and to me. And she continues to bless them. Now, if they have converted already, so what's Naomi thinking, trying to convince them to go back? How are they going to be able to live there if they're full-fledged Jews? How could she possibly put them in a situation where they're going to be the only people left in a house of non-Jews?
It actually seems like from the next pasuk that maybe they did convert from the language of the next pasuk.
Yitain Hashem, just in the blessings of Hashem. Which one, Tess?
In Yud.
Yud. Vatomar Nalok Yitach Nashuv Lameich. Because they're calling it her.
To your people, no?
Right. Or she wants to join, that shows that they did not convert. That they did convert, they did not. That they did not.
Your people would be they did not convert. It's not our people.
Right. That would show that they did not convert. They have not converted yet. Right? Go back to your nation.
Oh, see, okay.
So maybe you could view it. I see how you were viewing it.
Right.
So maybe that's the point, is that you can't tell them.
Okay, but now I see how you're viewing it.
Right. Okay. So I think that's left as an open point. But again, it's very hard to imagine that she would take her Jewish daughters-in-law and send them to and send them back to their Moabi homes. And the truth is that Chazal seemed to have understood from the coming psukim and from the response that was part of that they didn't want to, that they hadn't converted yet, and that was part of it. They were going to be accepting Ki Amecha Ami, your Lord, whatever you were saying before. Where is that? A little bit later. In Tezayin we have it. Ki Vetomer Rus Al Tifki Vilas Vecha Shu Mecharayach Ki Asher Telchi Elech Vasher Talin Yalin Amecha Ami Velokayich Elokay. Right? I'm your land, your people, your God. Amen. And she wants in 100%. And again, before this, again, read every pasuk, but it's clear Naomi was sort of trying to discourage them from coming. She, again, seems to, again, in terms of the process of converting, so we know that that's the normal process of conversion, is you tell the person, you have to realize, you know, what you're getting yourself into. And we try to discourage it. It's not easy. And, right, generally three times, we've learned that from these psukim, but they want to hold on. And what's fascinating about that, again, is many things. First of all, they have no relationship other than being mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Okay, so you can have successful mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationships. I'm not opposed. That's perfectly fine. But what you see is that something about Naomi was drawing them towards her. And they wanted to stay with her. And the reason that's significant is because, in terms of the development of the story, is if Naomi would not have been the person that she was, and Ruth didn't want to go along with her, so how does the story continue? Right? I think I don't think we normally think of it that way, but again, just in terms of, again, just trying to see Naomi's role in the story, the fact that she was, again, this person that they wanted to connect to, and even Orpah at first wanted to, then eventually she was convinced that, okay, maybe I will go back home, and it's better for me, but the fact that she was a person that they wanted to connect to, it was almost like they had observed her. They knew it wasn't that she was a stranger. They had observed her for the 10 years that they were all living somewhat near each other, it seems, in the land of Moab. And now that their sons, that their husbands are gone, they want to have this relationship with her. It's the greatness, and it speaks to the greatness of Naomi, that she's somebody that they wanted to connect to. That this, you know, almost like the Rebbe for the teacher for them to be able to learn from how to be the person that they want to be, or at least in the end, Ruth wants to be, and she decides to stay along. But again, in terms of the story, that's such a fundamental point, because if Ruth goes home, again, somehow God has a way of working things out. I don't need to vouch for him. But the story does not unfold the way it unfolds in this story. This Megillah does not appear the way it appears. David HaMelech will come. God has his ways. I'm not worried about that. But the story does not unfold the way that it unfolds. And that's, so again, just in terms of Naomi, and that's the comment that the Chazal make in the Medrash in Rus. The Darshan Meir explains the symbolism of every person's name in the story. And Machlon and Chilion, again, I think we spoke out about this a little bit last year, is, you know, what exactly the parents were thinking, giving them names that implied absolute destruction, or whether they had other names and these later became their names. But Naomi, from the beginning, is the only one who's understood in the Medrash in a positive light, that Noima Seha, that her deeds and her midos and the way about her, there was something very sweet and very pleasant about her as a person. And again, which may be further proof that maybe she was just dragged along in the beginning of the story, and this wasn't part of a tshuva process. But again, even if she made a mistake, the greatness of tshuva is also something which is worth the Megillah teaching us. So either way, again, Naomi is certainly, again, playing this major role, and she's the reason that Ruth wants to tag along and wants to come back with her to Eretz Yisrael. So, in Pasuk Yud Ches, Vatere Kimitz Ametzes, He Valdechas Itah. She Naomi sees that there's no way she's going to be able to convince Ruth to turn back. Vatechtal Daber Eleha. She doesn't want to argue anymore. Vatelach Nashteim Ad Boana Beis Lechem. So they did what their goal was, and they went back to Beis Lechem. Vayhi Kivoana Beis Lechem. And when they arrive in Beis Lechem, Vateom Kolir Lehen Vatomarna Hazos Naomi. And they get there, and the reaction of the people is one of wonderment. Is this really Naomi? Is this the same person who left here, you know, 10 or so years prior, with all the wealth and with everything else? The Chazal say that they came and they were literally barefoot. They didn't even have anything to put on their feet. She was so poor, she had absolutely nothing after her family had been destroyed. And she says, "Vatomar alayhan." And she says to them, "Atekrenoli nomi, krenoli mara. Don't call me nomi, the sweet one. Call me the pleasant one. Call me the embittered one. Kihemar shakai limod, because Hashem has been very bitter to me. Ani mlayoh halafti v'reikam yeshivan Hashem. I left with everything, and now I'm empty. That's the way God has returned me. Loma sikrena li no mi, Hashem anavi v'shakai hirali. Why should you call me the pleasant one when Hashem has been so bad to me?" So what happened to her?
Make a big deal about the name from the beginning.
That's true. So the Megillah itself, right? She herself makes a big deal of the name, right? I wonder that even the mayor was working off of 100%. So what happened to her? She was a strong person, and she's the one who Rus wants to tag along with, and suddenly she comes, and she just, apparently she can't deal with the, they say, "Oh, this is the same Naomi," and she just, she lets it all out. Again, and it's, on one hand, it's understandable, and most people, again, it's hard to call her, you know, the female Eov, but I mean, basically, she went through a lot of the similar. She had everything, and she lost it all. She lost her children, she lost her husband, she lost her wealth, and she really had she didn't have maybe the personal pains and illness of an Eov, but she had certainly tremendous trials and tribulations. So again, immediately go from going from this person that we're looking up to as this model citizen. She seems to come crashing down. So I think that's not what she meant.
Don't praise me. Also, because it gives me the honor, because I feel very guilty.
Maybe that's part of it, and part of that is that, again, this can be expressed in expressing the fact that Hashem has done something to me. It can be expressed in one or two ways. It can be expressed in a form of a complaint, which again I think is the way we would first look at this, because it's probably a concern in us, because we tend to, you know, people in general tend to be complainers. Or it can be really what we do at a funeral we do. It's tzidduk hadin, which is merely just stating the fact, you know what, I realize I'm in a bad situation, it's from God, Josh has judged me differently because it was my responsibility. I deserved it. And it's just and I think that's how the Mefarshim understand. That's really what happened here. And again, it really just speaks to the opposite. It's the strength of her personality that she can walk into a place. She knows from minute one when she leaves Moab what the reaction of the people in Beis Lechem is going to be. There's no question that, you know, everybody's going to be and that's really what it says before.
And she wasn't embarrassed. She went back.
Exactly. She wasn't embarrassed, and she just says, I accept it. This is what God did to me. Why did God do it to me? I deserved it. Whether I know exactly what it is, whether it's not what it is. So don't call me the pleasant one. It's not pleasant. And it doesn't have to be pleasant. Accepting God's judgment doesn't have to mean that we're enjoying it. It means simply that we realize that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We accept that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, ultimately, is God's plan perfect? Yes. Do we see how it's perfect? Oh, it's absolutely not. We don't see it. And that's what she was expressing, at this time.
But it's also a little spectacle, I'm not judging her quite as well, but, you know, like when you come back, it's the gossip mongers, and here she's got this young lady with her, by owning up at the outset and making yourself go mea culpa, it kind of kills the story. As opposed to, if she snuck in, ooh, who's there, Naomi, who's that girl, and all this stuff.
Because that is the impression that you get.
Correct. To start a fresh life.
And the truth is, the impression that you get is that Tehom Kol Ha'ir Alehen. It's like, it wasn't just, you know, a few people. This was everybody. Now, everybody expressed it, or everybody was, you know, talking in the background to each other, you know, and she just saw everybody whispering. Either way, she realized that, 100%. And this was her way of just of really owning up to the situation. And again, really speaks to the greatness of her personality, and not chas v'shalom to any chisaron or anything that was in fact lacking. So.
Do we know at what point Ruth converted?
Well, that's going to be her. That's her nation, no matter what she does. It's not necessarily a problem. We can be American Jews. You can be a Moabite Jew, or Jew. It's not a problem.
In the beginning, or that said, we're not sure.
Oh, okay.
Right. Either she converted before she married them, or she converted when she gave the whole speech of, I'm going to stick with you no matter what, your nation is my nation, your God is my God. Which again, is certainly is the language that we would expect in a conversion. Mm-hmm. The arguments are, on both ends, really depend on what the sin of Machlon and Chilion was, or did they get punished for marrying a non-Jewish, for marrying non-Jewish women, or was their punishment made for something else? And they were Jewish, but the difficulty, if they were Jewish, is then why was Naomi trying to convince them to go back? Certainly the safest place for them to continue religious practice was with traveling with her. So Naomi again really recognizes and announces to all what she is, what happened. So, fine. So then what happens in Perek Beis? So Perek Beis is a little bit, again, it sets up the background for the story that's going to follow. But again, Naomi is certainly the one who's still, you know, a major component of the story. The first pasuk says, "Naomi modal Yisha, Yisha Gibrachai, and Mishfach Zali Melech, Ushimo Boaz." How does Boaz get involved in the entire situation? Is a relative of Naomi, probably through Elimelech.
Okay, can I make an observation?
Sure.
Okay, just because it's the third time now that I noticed it. In the earlier when you first started, because you mentioned how very often we don't say Naomi. You don't, like, people's names are not always listed, especially with women. They're Isha, they're the Ishit of somebody else. But here, it's first time Elimelech is recognized at the beginning. Elimelech Ish Naomi.
Good.
She's his wife. When you get to what you just said, Ruth, we didn't need to clarify for sure. We know she's the daughter-in-law, but in plus, in Chafin says again, Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law. It's everyone how they relate to Naomi. And now, who is Eli, you know, and now who's Boaz? And who these, everyone, it seems to be how is everyone related to Naomi.
Right, very good.
She's a central figure.
That's what it should be called.
Right. That transition seems to have taken place in Pasuk Gimel in Perek Aleph, where it says Vayamas Elimelech Yishno Me, which is exact right, 100%, which is the exact opposite of how she was introduced as Eisha Elimelech. Now, once Elimelech is out of the picture, whether well, now gives her her room to be able to be herself and take on more of that role. But 100%.
But it tells us whoever, like, we know who Ruth is, and you know when she comes in, and they say she's a daughter. Like, everyone seems to be like,
right,
no birth difference. That's exactly how we're gonna
try to figure out. That's what was bothering me we're just gonna go through some of the stories. I think it just enforced the point that again, just to reiterate the question, which I think if you again normally we assume automatically that Ruth is the main character and Megillah's name's her. But if we look through the story again from beginning to end, who's the most involved in the development of the story? It seems abundantly clear, at least to me. We'll just get your input as we finish up and then move a little later into the story. Then Naomi is really the main character, and which would leave us with a big question of, so you know, why didn't she get her name? And again, how big a deal is it? I don't know how big a deal it is not to have your name attached to the Megillah, but I don't know. It seems like the purpose of the name is usually to focus on a central character. So if it's true that Naomi is a central character, why would it be that she's
At the end, Ruth is not even mentioned. It's
Naomi
is a very important point.
Good. He jumped. That's okay. It's going to be a very important point. It's going to be very important.
You were here last year.
No, I didn't talk about this exact thing last year. I didn't talk about this last year. No. I'm so good at other things last year. I tried not to. Some of these minor points I think we may have touched on. But the general thesis is different. Okay. So Naomi, again, the Boaz, again, is brought into the story as being the relative of Elimelech, again, through Naomi. Batoma Rusam of Yel, Naomi, Elchanoas, Odewa, Atoba, Shibolim, Acharam, Shazachim, Beinoa, Batoma, Lo, Lechi, Viti. So you see a few things. First of all, you see the language of that she's really accepted upon herself, not just, she's really accepted upon herself the role of teacher slash mother to Ruth. It's not the first time, it was mentioned earlier also, but I think it's one that we skipped over. But she talks to Shovnav and Osai. She really takes on the role, again, of realizing that she has this power to influence them, and that Ruth is drawn to her and should be taken under her wing, and she treats her as his daughter. And again, she's the one who allows, and we'll see soon also, is guiding Ruth in every step along the way. Ruth doesn't just go into the field of Boaz. It has to be with that permission from Naomi. And so she goes and she collects in the field. And then in Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Boaz Lanaro Anitzav Al Kotzim Lemian Arazo. So who is this new woman who's shown up to get from the Matnos Aniyim? Again, the things that are required to be left over for the poor people. He never saw her before. Vayana Nara Anitzav Al Kotzim Vayomer Nara Moaviyahi. She is this Moabite woman. Hashava Im Naomi Mistei Moab. And again, that's a very important point, because that's going to establish the connection. To say, well, she was the Moabite woman Rus who showed up, isn't going to make any imprint on Boaz. But now that Naomi is mentioned and she's the one who's related, so again, even the Nar is putting it into the context of, again, that's the central point for now, is the relationship of Naomi and Elimelech. And again, he takes he's very kind to her. And he says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayan Boaz, Vayomer Lo, Boaz says there, Hugeid, Hugadli, Klasher, Asitas, Chamoseich, I've heard all that you've done for your mother-in-law, Charimosi Sheikh, after your husband died, but Hazi, Avich, Vimech, you left behind your family, Be'eretz Moavteich, in your land, Vatechi, Alamar Shalidat, Moshe Shalma, you went to a nation that you didn't know anything about before, and Yishalem Hashem Palech, Hashem should bless you. Okay, and she collects, and she returns back. And in Pasuk Chaf, on page 1271, Vatomer Naomi L'chalasa, Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, Baruch Hu Hashem, Bo Hashem, be blessed to Hashem, Hashem, Lazav, Chasto, that he hasn't abandoned his kindness as a Chayim, Beth HaMesim, that even between, he's doing kindness to those that are alive, he's doing kindness even though Elimelech is not alive. Vatomer Lo Naomi, Karov Lo Noishmi Go Aleinuhu. And she reveals an important point of information that there's no way for us to know on her own. There's no way for us to know on her own. Again, the entire structure of this concept of geula, this we'll call it a quasi yibum type concept, that he is our closest relative, and there's significance to his ability to redeem. Again, exactly the details we're not going to get into today is really beyond the scope of what we're trying to do. But again, it's Naomi who suddenly reveals this new piece of information to Ruth, and now she can put into the picture and into the general equation. And she tells him that he told me that I can hang out there. I shouldn't go anywhere else. And that's what she does. And then comes Perek Gimel. And Perek Gimel is really a major change in the story and a major change even in the personality of Naomi. Batomer Lo Naomi Chamosa, and Naomi, the mother-in-law, says to Rus, Biti, my daughter again, Halo Avakesh Lach Manoch Asher Yitavlach, I want to make sure that everything is going to be good for you. And this is really the first, again, we have it in smaller instances, but this is the first time that Naomi is really taking a very active role in trying to determine what her fate is going to be. She's passively responded to everything else, to the famine, to the deaths, to her daughters-in-law, to Ruth in particular, all that she's taken into account. But now we're going to see that she's a little bit of a schemer, and she's decided that, you know, now I need to take a very active role in a way that we wouldn't necessarily have thought of in terms of the plot and everything as being the sweet Naomi. But again, it's all for a purpose, and she's and a very legitimate one, and one in which she really feels this connection to Ruth, that I need to do something for you. So again, it's Naomi who's the driving force behind what's going to happen.
She also bit her time because that she would, you know, she starts at the beginning of the harvest. It's a 3-month thing. She's just been hanging around for a while, waiting, and Naomi knows what the story is, and she's waiting for Boaz to do something, and he doesn't act. So now that the harvest time is over,
maybe we don't.
I'm running down.
Okay, maybe.
Shidduch season's over.
This next year, shidduch season. I mean, she doesn't have to.
She's 80.
She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to actively engage. Meaning, she doesn't have to take the role. Again, maybe that's the reason why she decides to take that role now. But again, it's just a very different role for her than we've really seen until now. And then she goes through in great deal detail. Again, he's a relative, Asher Yizis Narosov, this one, you know, you're familiar with him, that's where you've been. You know, he was a Rez Gor and Asor and Malayla. Again, clearly she's been doing her research. It's not just that she knows that she's a close relative. He knows that tonight he is going to be sleeping on the threshing floor. And again, which is going to obviously be a very important point, because the entire plan revolves around that. V'rachat, v'sacht, v'samsim, mosayach, alayach. V'yarad tagoren, so you should wash up and prepare yourself, anoint yourself, put your fancy clothes on, and go down. And again, I think this we did mention last time, that on v'yarad, that you should go down, there's a kri and a ksiv.
Mm-hmm.
It's written one way and it's read the other way. The way that it's written is v'yarad ti. Naomi's saying that, meaning almost telling her, if I could, I would do this myself. If this was a role for me to play, I would do that. Practically, it's not, which is why we read it as v'yaradit, that you should go down. But again, and we're going to have it two psukim later also, it's going to be v'shachaf, then you should lay next to him. Also there it's written v'shachafti. I mean, I could have been the one who was, again, in terms of the story, in terms of relationship, and maybe not even in terms of that, in terms of, you know that I'm there with you. You know, Rus is, again, a major part of the story is going to be what Rus actually does, that Rus acts on the plan, and she certainly shouldn't be, the goal of this year is not to discredit Rus. Certainly the Mesirat Nefesh that she had in leaving her people, which Boaz recognizes, was tremendous. The chesed that she does with her mother-in-law is tremendous. And the fact that she's the one who's doing and going through the motions here, and the one who's not just the plotter in the background, but she's the one who's implementing and performing and putting herself on the line, because in the end, she's going to be the one, you know, if Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night and slaps her across the face, she's going to be the one, or screams really loud, she's going to be the one who gets the brunt of it and who's embarrassed and maybe even gets punished for whatever's going to happen. So I'm not certainly not trying to discredit, to take anything away from Rus, but just in terms of the overall story, just trying to focus more for now on the role of Naomi. So again, in great detail, I'm not going to do the whole story now. Maybe next week we'll see if there's. Maybe we'll talk about what happened that night in the on the threshing floor. Maybe that'll be a topic for next week. We've got a little bit left here, but we don't want to talk about that. So we won't talk about it. I don't care. I'm laid back. Whatever you want. Fine. We'll see. Vayomer. Where are we? And again, and she really knows. She knows a lot. And then in Pasuk Vav, she goes down to the Goren Ratas Kichol Asher Tzivato Chamosa. Again, the Megillah even tell us it's not just that she did what she was told, but she did what she was told by Naomi, because the plan doesn't exist without Naomi explaining this whole thing.
Don't we learn that you get extra points for doing what you're told rather than just for doing things?
Yeah.
Maybe why it's named after Run. And also for being a Giorist, you get extra points for that.
In no way am I trying to discredit Russ. It should not be taken out of that at all. But again, if you're trying to pinpoint, if you would, again, without figuring out, you know, God's credit system, and all those points are true, if you had to try to figure out, if you, you know, read the story to, you know, your average person who wasn't familiar with it, and you tried to say, you know, who is the heroine, or who stands out as the main character in the story?
Okay.
Exactly. We'll see.
The whole thing about the Torah, like Moshe is the driving force throughout most of it, but because he's always there, when the one who's always there doesn't stand out, it's the one who does the wrong measure. Yitro, that's a portion of a Korah, for God's sake. But Moshe does it.
So you're putting Ruth with Korah, and I thought I was in trouble.
Putting Moshe
with Naomi. I'm putting Roger Moshe with Naomi.
So we'll see.
We don't credit the mothers.
I'm not sure that that's a Torah ideal, but okay, let's see.
You're in a room full of mothers, be careful.
Okay. Let's see. Everybody can disagree with me, it's fine. I'm not going to change the name of the Megillah in the end, don't worry. I'm trying to understand. Okay. So again, we're not going to go through all the details of what happened there now. Fine. So that brings us. Fine. Flip the page. Pasuk Tes Zayin Vatavoa Chamosa. Again, and she has to return back to her mother-in-law. Again, she has to report back about everything that happened or didn't happen. Again, we don't know. We'll have to discuss maybe differently on what happened or didn't happen. And her mother-in-law certainly had no clue what was happening. As much as she knew Boaz's schedule, she wasn't like Miriam in the reeds hanging out over the threshing floor. But Tomer, she asked a very interesting question. 1272, page, Pasuk Test Zion.
Test
Zion. In Parag Gimel, before I put Parag Dal, towards the top of the page. But Tavoch HaMosan, she goes back to Madna Vayo, but Tomer, and she says, Mi at BT, who are you, my daughter? Again, interesting formulation, meaning, Who are you with now? Are you married to Boaz? Are you with me? What's your status? How did everything go? Batagi La, and she said to him, Eskol Asher Asa Lo Ha'ish. And she told over everything that happened with the man.
I have a question. You may want to turn the recorder off.
Okay. Okay, so the Perek Dalet brings us really to the close of the to the end of the story. So,
I have a question about this also.
Okay.
Want to shut it off?
Okay. Okay. So again, Perek Dalet. So again, the story is really finishing up. And in Pasuk Yud, he says, Boaz says, "V'gam asrus hamavya ishes machlon konisi li lisha." He's married her. Bakim Shem HaMeisan Achlaso, to bring the name of the Meisan to the portion. And everybody's very very excited about what happens. Now what happens towards the end? Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayikach Boaz Asrus, Boaz takes Rus, Vatihi Lo Lisha, and he is to him a wife, Vayavo Elai, together with her, Vayitein Hashem Lahi Rayon, and Hashem gives her a pregnancy, Vateled Bain, and she gives birth to a son. Vatomarna Hanashim al Naomi, the women said to Naomi, Baruch Hashem Arshalosh Bislach Goel Hayom, blessed be Hashem, who has not left you without a redeemer today. Yikarei Shemo b'Yisrael, and his name should be called in Israel. V'yalach l'meshiv nefesh u'chalkel ha'sevaseich, ki chalaseich asher ha'hevaseich yoladato asher hi tovalach mishiv'a v'anim. And they say, Naomi, the people are telling her, right, no mention of Rus, you should be comforted that Hashem has given a child to your family in your old age, to your daughter-in-law who you love, who's as good to you as seven sons. I'm sorry, that's the next pasuk. Did I read that pasuk already?
Yeah.
I did. Okay, fine, good. Vatikach Naomi Sayelet, and Naomi takes the child, Vatishiseo Bechaikah, and puts her onto her chest. Vatihi Lo Lo Menes, and she becomes his nurse. Okay, Chazal said there was a miracle happened that she was able to nurse the baby. Vatikrena Lo Ashkenos Shem Lemar, and what did the neighbors call out saying? Yulad Bein Lenaomi. A child, a son has been born to Naomi, not to Rus. Vatikrena Shemo Oved, Hu Avi Yishai Avi David, and they called him Oved, and he is the father of Yishai, who is the father of David, and then we really summarize the lineage afterwards. The last time Rus is mentioned is Vayikach Boaz as Rus Vatilo Lisha, that Boaz took Rus as a wife. After that, once the child is born, there's no longer mention of Rus. If you ask anybody at the time who had the child, it's Naomi. Everything's about Naomi. It's very strange. Right?
And Boaz also.
So the Chazal tells that Boaz died. The Boaz died right after the wedding.
Grandparent even.
Yeah.
Like what? Somehow her family disappears and she doesn't have grandchildren. This is the surrogate.
Right.
She could be the Meshachavti, but maybe for
okay.
Life purposes she can't. But somehow she can.
But again, clearly, in terms of just the way the story is related, which again seems to be not just the way that the Megillah. Again, I think Chazal understood that Shmuel HaNavi was the one who wrote over, who put Megillah Sirus into the form that we have it. So the way it was actually written, it's not even written that this is the perspective of, you know, the narrator that you are bailing on me. It's relating what the people were saying. The people that lived at the time, when they saw this story, this was the culmination of everything for Naomi. It wasn't for us. And again, I think the reason for that is because she's been the one who's been pulled in all the directions throughout the story. She's been the one who's undergone this tremendous, even character development. Again, whether she's doing tshuva for what happened at the beginning or not, either way, she has the personality which draws Rus to her. She tries to push them away, they won't leave. But then once they're there, she fully accepts Rus as her, literally as her daughter, calling her VP. She's the one who teaches her about the Tzidak HaDin and shows the world what it means to accept God's judgment, even if it's not pleasant, and even if it's not the way that we would hope things are going to, how things are going to be. She's the one who has the connection to Boaz, and then to enter the community, and she's the one that has the connection to Boaz. She's the one who sends Ruth there. She's the one who designs the entire plan, and in the end, she's the one who's almost who basically raises this child.
Maybe that's why Rus gets the name, because if she didn't, she right. literally disappeared in the movie.
Right, exactly.
So again, that's
or vice versa.
So what's one second? There's two different points here. You're giving an answer to the question. I just want to at least validate me. I think there's a legitimate question, right? The question we're trying to give answers. No, there again, obviously there is an answer to the question. I have an answer also to the question. But I think I hadn't thought about it before, and I think the question is very, very strong, is that really, again, the more you look at it through this lens of Naomi's role, she really is the central figure to absolutely every single thing that happens in the story. And even when Ruth is putting herself on the line, it's through that channel of Naomi, and that's even recognized by the people who lived at the time. So I think that's the question slash problem that I think is important to recognize. I have an answer. You can give answers.
No, it's also because Ruth could have married someone that wasn't related to Naomi. It really wouldn't have been Naomi's daughter.
100%. 100%. 100%. Okay, so answers.
And therefore, the story really was about Ruth. It was the fact that everything was connected.
It was about Naomi because it didn't have to connect back to her.
From her
Ruth having a child had nothing.
It didn't have to.
Well, it's not technically from her.
But
Naomi and Ruth are not related through blood. It's a daughter-in-law.
Boaz is related.
As a cousin or something.
Okay,
through her husband. It's not going to be.
But she's related to her.
No, and maybe that's exactly the point, is that the Yulad Vainly Naomi, I think Chazal even learned out from this. I think this is the Makor and the Gemara, that anybody who's Megadol, anybody who raises somebody else's child, the child is called after them. And Megadol Yasov himself based, so is Mikra Shemo. If you raise an orphan, you raise somebody who needs to be raised, then it's...
Okay, so
answers. I have an answer, but
let's hear it.
You don't have to. I'm going to say it either way. You can say your answer first.
On the tape or off the tape?
My answer's on the tape. There's nothing. My answer is very simplistic.
Is the question that Ruth made the choice to go with Naomi?
So I'm not sure. I don't see why that decision is more than any of the other. Again, it couldn't have happened without that. I agree 100%. But is that decision, you know, really outshine everything else that happened?
If she said no, he goes back without a surrogate. What, she's going to pick up a young chick?
Maybe. But if Naomi says Naomi doesn't decide not to go back, so they're together and they're living together their holy life in Moab. Again, there are just so many points in which things didn't have to go the way they did. Again, obviously that's essential, and the mysterious nefesh of Rus is certainly something that which is supposed to be a model, and the chesed and all of that. I think the point is actually just a very simple one, which is something which is very important to keep in mind when learning Tanakh, which is that not every good story that happened at a certain period of time is included in Tanakh. You can have a story that's exciting and has ups and downs, and it's not going to be included in Tanakh. The ones that are included in Tanakh is because they have a message that goes on. And the reason, I think, what Chazal are telling us, and the reason that we call Megillas Rus, is because the importance of including this story was only because of David who comes from Rus. It's only because the child was actually born to Rus. And again, the Gemara talks about the difficulty of the drasha that she came from Moab and everywhere else. Who was the central figure in the story? Naomi is the central figure in the story. And we're not trying to deny that. But if the story is only a story about Naomi, and it ends up with all the beautiful, it ends up the exact same way without the Avi Yishai, Avi David, and the last four psukim, it just is a geula. So we have a beautiful story, and it's a non-fiction book, and it'll be a New York Times bestseller. But it's not going to be included in Tanakh. Mm-hmm. The reason that it's included in Tanakh is because of Rus. And that's why we focus on Rus. It's because of the fact that it's going to be this blood lineage, which is now from Rus and Boaz, which is going to be Avi Yishai, Avi David. That's why it is. And maybe this point, actually, I sort of Rivlin mentions, he discusses a lot of this. That's exactly the point that I was making. He says maybe that's exactly the reason why they focus so much on Naomi at the end of the story, is to give her the credit, because she does deserve the credit, because she is the main person in the story, and she is the one who went through all this and brings the story full circle. And since she's not going to be getting her name attached to the book, maybe that's specifically why it's Yulad Ben Naomi. We stress at the end the fact that there was this whole story which could not have happened. Again, you need everybody, you need all the players. It couldn't happen without Boaz also, but I don't think any of us are claiming it's Megillas Boaz.
There's a man somewhere.
The guys are on the table. Maybe I can convince them. But again, clearly he's not the central figure. So maybe that's the idea. The truth is that if you had to pinpoint who's the main character, maybe who's the heroine of the story, I don't have a problem saying that it's Naomi. And really she plays that role perfectly. And she's the one we have so much to learn from. We have a lot to learn from Ruth also. But the reason that it's Ruth is really a lesson in what Kisvei HaKodesh are about. And that the reason that it's in Tanakh isn't just because it's an exciting story, but it's because this is really the future of the of the Jewish people. I think somebody points out that when it says at the beginning of the Megillah that you did Kasher Asisim Imhameisim V'Imadi, that you did Chesed with the Meisim and Imadi. Somebody says that Imadi is the Rashi Tevos for Oved, Mashiach, David, and Yishai. That Rus is going to be the one, and it's hinting to it already at the beginning, is Rus is going to be the one who's an eternal chesed that she's doing with the Jewish people. It's not just with me personally, says Naomi, but it's through this chesed that you do and come with me, that it's Ayin, Oved, Mem, Mashiach, Dalet, it's not in order, but again, they're all hunted to, Dalet, David, and Yud for Yishai. That it's this line of David HaMelech, that's the reason why this book is what it is. And again, certainly the lessons of Rus and Mesiras Nefesh are ones that what is included in Tanakh are there for us to learn from. But in terms of the main character, if we were just looking at main characters, I think it would have been called Megillas Naomi. But since it's in Kitzvei HaKodesh, it's part of the canon of the books of Tanakh, so we highlight a different feature. It's the fact that Rus, that's the reason that it's included, because this is the beginnings of the line of Mashiach. Shekam b'mheira v'yameinu. Amen.
You know, going back...